And welcome. I'm Dr. Mona Kular, and this is To Immunity and Beyond. I'm a medically trained doctor and nutrition and health coach, and I love helping people find the very best version of themselves. This show is all about living well, feeling well, and most importantly, aging well. The immune system is essentially the body's wellness system, so by understanding and supporting it, we can all reach an optimal level of health. I'll be having conversations with a wide range of experts from around the world on all the areas that can support our immune system to help us live healthier for longer. Let's live life better. Hello and welcome to Immunity and Beyond.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
My guest today is Susan Saunders, a health coach and author of the Age Well Project. And we're going to be talking today about all the various aspects of lifestyle that contribute to healthy aging. Hello, Susan. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much for asking. I'm so thrilled to be here.
I'm very excited about our conversation today. Susan, you are an author and health coach, and we're going to be talking about aging well, which ties into a book that you've co-authored called The Age Well Project. Can we start by just finding out a bit more about yourself and your background and how you journeyed into becoming a health coach?
Yes, of course. It's quite a long story. So the genesis of health coaching was the Age Well Project, and the genesis of the Age Well Project was my own experience when my mother was diagnosed with dementia. So I was 36, I had a newborn and a toddler, I was working full time as a TV producer, I had, you know, my life was really, really full on. And then my mother was diagnosed with dementia. So suddenly I had all these responsibilities. I'm an only child, so I was responsible for her care. That was really tough. And what made it even harder was that as a teenager, I had watched her caring for her mother, who also had dementia. So I could kind of see this pattern, which I didn't like. And with two daughters myself, I thought I wanted to do everything I could to reduce the chances of them having to care for me. And I know there's never, there's no magic bullets, but I wanted to do what I could. And this, this was quite a long time ago. So it was quite early days in terms of research into the impact of lifestyle onto Alzheimer's and aging more generally. So I started sort of digging through the research myself, and I found a lot of it very confusing, and all these sort of headlines about, drink coffee and you'll live forever, don't drink coffee, you'll die, And it was all just sort of so confusing. So I thought, I've got to kind of find a way through this myself that works for me with my very busy lifestyle, juggling everybody. So that sort of set me on the path to my kind of personal Age Well project. And then I was talking to my friend Annabelle about it, who has similar concerns in terms of a family history. And so we thought, oh, let's write a blog. So that was kind of 7-8 years ago. And so we started blogging about what we found and also what we were cooking and sharing recipes. And the blog, the Age Well Project, kind of took off. And then as a result of that, we got a book deal. And then while I was writing the book, sort of about 3 years ago, I thought, yeah, this is so great writing a book, and it will reach lots of people, and it's a wonderful opportunity. But I would really like to help people more. You know, what can I do to help people more directly make sense of this in their own lives, as I have done? And so that led me to health coaching. And so I qualified as a health coach, so that I can help, you know, just help people come one-to-one or in groups, just really focus on the process of getting the various factors that will help you age well into your life. Because we all kind of know to eat healthily and exercise, but it's how do you make it work in your life? So that was the coaching. And then that led to a second book called The Age Well Plan, which is a kind of 6-week how-to guide. So that's me.
Oh, amazing. And what I love about your story, and I come across this quite often when I speak to people in similar fields, you know, with health coaching, nutrition coaching, or just other people who interface with clients or other people to help them, is they're so often been their own journey, you know, with their own situations where they've faced things and actually thought, you know what, I want to make a difference here. I want to change things for other people as well as myself. And I think it's so powerful when it starts that way, because there's so much meaning behind it.
Yes, exactly. I talk a lot to people about finding your purpose and why, and specifically this, why do you want to age well? And so your mind started 18 years ago with my mother's diagnosis. You know, that was the moment where I thought, God, you know, is this going to happen to me? Once you've found your own purpose, it's kind of easier to help other people, to help people focus on theirs. You know, what is the thing you want to age well for? That might be your grandchildren or future grandchildren. You might have a dream of, you know, climbing a mountain, or just want to kind of live vibrantly. It doesn't matter what that purpose is. It's the thing that keeps you on track. That's really important. And I think, as you say, people who have experienced something quite intensely themselves know that, and know that there is a really good reason for carrying on.
Yeah. And as we'll come to a little bit later, having that sense of purpose is also part of aging well. Once you've found yours, it's so nice to be able to help others identify theirs. And as you say, it doesn't have to be anything like a lightning bolt moment. You know, it can just be wanting to enjoy life fully, or, as you say, you know, play with your grandchildren or enjoy a hobby that you already do, or anything. But we'll come back to that later. So what I'd like to ask you is, when you first started to change things in your lifestyle, did you notice a difference? And is that what sort of then made you want to then help other people to make those same changes? Did you feel better in yourself? How did you find it impacted you?
Yes, I did almost immediately start to just feel better, more energized, more vibrant, more just kind of more on top of things, I think. And I know immunity is your thing, and I was the person who always had a cold from pretty much puberty, or probably even before that. I always had a cold. I had a cold every single month from the age of 12 or something, and sometimes it'd last 2 weeks, and that continued all the way through my life, and until we started kind of researching how to age well, and I started focusing on my diet and exercise and sleep and things, and now I'm touching wood like mad. My immune system is much better. I don't live with a packet of tissues in every pocket anymore, which I used to. That was my life. So that's a really clear thing, which I know. But also, Annabelle and I read a lot of research papers, and it's, you know, it's not just what we feel. You know, there's a lot of, and you know, there's a lot of research and a lot of science that kind of backs this up. But the, you know, the personal thing is, yeah, feeling better, being healthier.
And it's interesting you mentioned the immune system. Obviously, that's something I'm hugely interested in. And I always think it's so wonderful when you hear the real stories, because it's not just the science is important and we use that to inform us and to guide us. But when you see it working in real life, when you see the difference that actually making those changes makes in real people, that's when you know, that it really all does make sense. So it's really great to hear that, especially with regards to having the colds, that those actually really improved once you'd made changes to your diet and lifestyle.
Absolutely. And it, you know, that has given me back so much more time and energy and focus and opportunity to do things, because I'm not just feeling ill all the time.
Yeah. So you embarked on all this research and, you know, and it was very comprehensive, and you put together this fantastic book, The Age Well Project, followed up by The Age Well Plan. And you also have a website, The Age Well Project, which has lots of useful and incredible information on it about aging well. What would you say then? You've identified key areas. So what are the key areas we need to be looking at for aging well? And then we could perhaps talk about each of those a little in turn.
When we started the blog, I thought aging well was about what you ate. Really, I thought that was it. And we started off by adding a lot of recipes. We really saw it as a kind, sort of a recipe blog, really, as much as anything. And then as we got into it, it became obvious that that's just a really, it's not a small part, but it's one part of the various things that we need to do to age well, that there's a lot more to it. So that was a real journey for me, realizing that eating well, eating healthily, is one element of a whole range of things. So when I wrote the Age Well Plan, that's a 6-week plan to kind of kickstart your own age well life, as it were. Each week is a different topic, and so the first week is about knowing your purpose, as we just talked about, and also knowing your body, being aware of your various parameters, be that BMI, blood pressure, etc. You're taking, which I think more broadly is about taking responsibility for your own health. So that's the first thing. Then diet, then exercise, which is so critical to aging well, every level, and the immune system, as you know, and everything else. Sleep, which I think was probably the biggest thing for me. I literally hadn't considered the relationship of sleep and health. And it sounds really stupid now, but however many years ago, I hadn't thought about that. And now there's so much research, and such a huge area. And again, absolutely critical. Then engagement, be that mental engagement, social engagement, really important as we get older. Possibly the most important thing. I don't know. It's very difficult to say what is the thing. The thing is that they all work together. But that's a really important thing. And then the environment in which we're aging, also plays a key role. And there is more and more research being done on that at the moment.
Yeah. I'm so glad you started that with saying that you had always thought nutrition was the most important, and then realised there's so much more to it. Because I think many of us have been or are the same, and we think it's all about what you eat and don't realise actually everything else, how you think, how you move, how you relax, how you connect with others, are equally as important. And as you say, the research probably wasn't as robust, you know, some years ago, but is emerging all the time, that supports that. And so it's really finding that balance in all those areas where you can address a little bit of all of them. There's no point sort of having one that's perfect and everything else is, you know, on the ground. So I'm glad you sort of put it across that way. And as we know, you know, when we talk about aging, many people think of aging as how they look on the outside primarily, and then I suppose how they function. So I think aging can be seen as, you know, people get frailer, they get weaker, they look older, they can do less as they get older. And we know that doesn't have to be the case in that way. But also there's this internal aging, isn't there? This biological aging, which is very much driven by the state of our immune system and how much inflammation is being created. And all of those things are fed into by the things we've just mentioned. So it's not just the nutrition, it's how well you're sleeping, it's how well you're addressing your stress levels, it's how happy you are. You know, do you have purpose? Are you fulfilled? Do you have good social connections? Are you stimulating your brain? All of those things feed into your immune system. So it's all happening at a cellular biological level. It's not just this external thing. It's a very, very deep physiological thing too.
Yes, absolutely. And some of the research into inflammation is incredible, because it's inflammation is happening in the body, as you know, all the time, as a result of everything we do to our bodies, including breathing and things that we can't. Even breathing produces oxidation, process. That kind of rusting process, causes inflammation, and so many other things do as well. And people who live in areas with low social cohesion have higher rates of inflammation. And all this inflammation, wherever it comes from, lack of social contact or pollution or poor diet or lack of exercise, that's all impacting our immune system, because our immune system is thinking, there's inflammation here. Something's going on. I've got to deal with it. And that's fine, as you know, if you cut yourself or you've got a virus. But if you are in that state of chronic inflammation for decades, and many of us are, the immune system is just permanently switched on, and that increases the inflammation. So the two things, you work in a very unpleasant kind of balance. And doctors talk about inflammaging, this relationship between aging and inflammation, whether one is driving the other. And then there's a really complex relationship between inflammaging and immunosenescence, which I struggle to say, immunosenescence, so the aging of the immune system itself, plus the pressure it's put under by inflammaging. You've got this kind of really hideous cocktail going on as we get older.
Yeah, it ends up being a very vicious circle, because as we age, and more of the cells in our body in general, but especially in our immune system, go into senescence. So they go into that sort of non-functional state where they're quite old, and therefore they're still hanging around like a zombie cell, but not really doing anything. But then they start to give off these inflammatory markers. So that raises our inflammation. It puts our immune system into a more active state where it's trying to then clear everything up. And then that causes more damage to cells. So you get this vicious circle. And as you said just before, the way we live just on a daily basis causes inflammation. Everything we do will cause a degree of inflammation in us. So the things that we can control to bring that down are the ones that we need to look at, in terms of how we're eating, how we're moving, etc. So should we start off with food? I mean, although we've said it's not the most important, I think it's the one that people always want to hear about first. What are the principles? What were the basic principles that you have come across and promote now in terms of how we should be eating to look after our aging process?
As you say, the most important thing is to reduce that inflammation in the body, reduce that oxidation. So A really simple thing is to look for the foods which provide antioxidants, which help deal with that rusting process in the body. So that, you know, that is fruit and vegetables. You know, they are nature's antioxidants, essentially. And the all those beautiful colours that we associate with fruit and vegetables are the plant's own antioxidants, which they very generously give to us when we eat them. So you know, the more colour that we're consuming in terms of fruit and vegetables, the better. You know, that's a, you know, just a really simple thing is to make your plate really colourful and to you know, make sure that there's always kind of you know, half your plate. If you think of a plate, it doesn't have to be exact, but you know, half your plate is fruit and brightly coloured fruit and vegetables. That's a really good starting point. And when I'm coaching clients, that's often kind of one of the first things we kind of start with. Once you've got that, other things will start to fall into place because then you're thinking about your diet in a very different kind of way. Because we tend to think, what's my protein? You know, am I going to have a slab of meat or fish or beans or whatever on my plate? Or am I, you know, is this a pasta meal or a rice meal or whatever? Actually, if you start thinking, what are my veg? Where's the colour coming from on my plate? Where's my half plate of veg coming from? The rest then kind of slots into place. So it's that kind of mindset shift about how you fill your plate, how you plan and create a meal, I think is really important. And when you're, once you've started that, then there's less space on the plate for more processed foods and that kind of thing. And I processed foods are inflammatory. So, heavily processed oils, something that I feel very strongly about is reducing the number of very heavily processed oils we have in our diet, focusing on olive oil and nut oils, avocado oil, that you know, more natural oils and getting more of them into our diet, I think is really important. I don't use things like sunflower oil anymore because they have
very high levels of omega-6 fatty acids in them, which are pro-inflammatory. And as you know, just through modern lifestyle, most of us have much more omega-6 than omega-3 in our diets than we should. And when that balance isn't favourable, we end up in a more inflamed state. So we want to be reducing those omega-6s where we can. So they're in, as you say, the seed oils, the processed oils, processed foods, fried foods, ready-made foods tend to be very high in those. And then trying to really increase the omega-3s, as you say, with the olive oils, the avocado oils, nuts and seeds, and those kinds of things, just to get that balance into a much more anti-inflammatory state.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a client who was on a really sort of healthy, really healthy kind of exclusion diet anyway, and she was saying, I don't think I'm getting any omega-6. Maybe I should be getting some somewhere. I said, well, look, let's just break down what you are consuming. And when we started to look at the things which you know, she thought were super healthy, like oat milk and oat cakes and things, they all had processed seed oils in, which was really surprising. They are almost as soon as you consume something which has been made by somebody else, you're ingesting them, which is fine. And actually, we need omega-6 for cell wall, for our cell walls, etc. Yeah. But it's better if they come from whole nuts and seeds and that kind of stuff, rather than more processed refined oils. Another thing I feel really strongly about is the omega-3 thing, and getting enough omega-3, getting enough of the EPA and DHA fatty acids. I get them from eating oily fish. Not everybody eats fish, I know that, but for brain health, which is so close to my heart, as it were, that's really, really important.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Another thing I think is really important that's easy to overlook with diet and aging is getting enough fiber. A lot of people don't get enough fiber in their diets. A lot of that can come from fruit and vegetables, But you know, if you are, you know, when you're eating carbohydrates, you're making sure that they have enough fiber, because that's so vital for gut health. Your gut microbiota ferments the fiber, and that, you know, gut health is so vital to the immune system.
Then yeah,
it takes us back there. So I think those are things to focus on. When we were writing the Age World project, I kept a fiber diary. It was not the most interesting diary ever, but it is. But I tracked how much fiber I got, because we should be getting 25 to 30 grams a day, and that's quite hard to do unless you really work on it. So, you know, I did have to work on it. I was eat more beans, things like sweet potato, chia seeds, oats, etc. It helped me keep my fiber intake up.
Yeah, definitely. Fiber is hugely underrated, and good fiber intake is associated with a reduced risk of so many chronic diseases, with a reduced risk of particular forms of cancer, including colon cancer. And as you say, we should be getting around 30 grams a day. And I think the latest research shows we're getting around 14 to 16 grams a day, most of us, which is almost half. So I wonder if people sometimes don't really know where to get their fiber from. And there are a lot of packaged foods that sort of say high fiber, but then they've also got these other things in that you might not want. So it's working out the right places. And I really love what you said about setting up your plate with your fruit and veg first and letting the other things, fall into place around. And that's how I eat. I get my plate or bowl and I put all my colourful things in first, and then I'll add my protein and my fats sort of afterwards, and my starchy carbohydrates. But that really helps with getting your fibre intake up, because you've already started with a good amount of fibre in that fruit and veg.
Exactly. And I've seen some of your plates on Instagram and they look delicious.
Oh, thank you.
because the colour looks so inviting, doesn't it? You know, it's very easy to make a plate look inviting when there's lots of colour on it. So, yeah, and that's giving you antioxidants and fibre as well.
Yeah. And one of the things I try to get across, I don't know how well I do this, is it doesn't have to be complicated or take a long time. You know, I'm a busy working mum and I don't have a huge amount of time to prepare my meals, but they're not really cooked. A lot of it's just food that I've quickly chopped up and put on a plate. It doesn't have to be that you're spending hours slaving over a stove and making things. And actually salads is one of the best ways to do that, because you can eat a lot of things cold or just lightly steamed if they need cooking, which doesn't take too long, and just bung it all together. I also experiment with different flavors and textures, just, you know, put things together and see how it goes. You also mentioned... So you mentioned gut health and the gut microbiome, and obviously, you know, a lot of our immune system is housed just behind the lining of our gut wall. And that's why paying attention to our diet and our fiber intake really helps our immune system as well, because when we keep our gut healthy and we keep those gut microbes happy, they work better to stabilize that barrier and keep the immune system doing what it should be doing and not overactively trying to fend off all kinds of what it, you know, perceives to be baddies coming through. And again, that just brings our inflammation levels down. So the better we look after our gut health, the more we can reduce our inflammation.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, the good gut health is absolutely key to aging well, and obviously immunity as well. But it plays such a key role. And most of us have a depleted gut microbiota as we age. It like everything else, it's aging, and it's something that we really need to work on. And the really good thing about the gut microbiota is that it responds really quickly to what we give it, so within 24 hours. If we give it what it needs, if we feed it, give it what it needs to feed off, the prebiotics, fiber and resistant starch so that it ferments for its own nutrition, and then give it new friends in terms of probiotics, the ready fermented foods like sauerkraut and kimchi and kefir and the K. One of my clients referred to them as the K foods. So I don't really like the K foods, kimchi, kefir, that kind of thing. But yeah, I did manage to get her to start eating them, and she certainly got into kefir. It's kind of starting small, and you don't need very much, and you can overwhelm the gut. When Annabelle and I first started kind of looking into this, Annabelle went a bit mad on it and ate so much fermented food that she got rather bloated and uncomfortable. So it is, you do have to kind of work out your level and start slowly with these foods.
Yeah. And you know, as you say, you don't need a huge amount. And actually, I think more recent research is showing that the prebiotic fibers are possibly even more important than those probiotics, actually, yeah, to really nourish the microbes that are already there. So prebiotic fibers are things like Jerusalem artichokes, leeks, garlic, onions, chicory, oats, unripe bananas. I'm trying to think of the others. But by having a good variety in your diet, you'll naturally be getting most of the things you need anyway.
Yes, absolutely. And it comes back, most of those are plants, so it's filling your plate and perhaps experimenting a bit with things you wouldn't necessarily think of eating. Yeah. But giving them a go.
I'm aware we've spent a lot of time talking about nutrition, and I feel like I could actually carry on, but let's move on.
I know, that's the thing. It is. Yeah, we all love talking about food.
So let's talk about movement and exercise, because we know that some types of exercise are really good for promoting and sort of protecting us as we age. We know that others that may perhaps be not so good for us. So what do you tend to go through with your clients when you talk about exercise for aging well?
I think almost all forms of exercise are really good. I think a really important thing is variety. And what I find with a lot of my clients who tend to be women from some very late 40s, 50s onwards, is that they'll say, well, I do a lot of exercise because I walk the dog and I do Pilates. And that's great and brilliant if that's that's the starting point. But actually, we still need cardiovascular exercise, and really importantly, muscle, building muscle or maintaining muscle as we get older. It's absolutely vital. I mean, I think that is the most important thing, really, as we age, is to keep building muscle, because it declines naturally as we get older. And it's very easy to think, I don't want to pump weights. You know, I'm 55. I don't want to pump weights. I'm not going to go in that bit of the gym with all the sweaty men in vests. But it's kind of finding a way. Who are always rather intimidating. So it's finding a way of working weights into our lives that feels accessible and doable and isn't painful, of course. And whether that's a class or just having a few light hand weights at home that you just do a few bicep curls and things with before you clean your teeth or whatever, we have to make an effort to maintain muscle. Because that's really critical. That's sending messages around our body, which is not just about physically building biceps. It's about right down to a cellular level, helping the proteins in each cell refold themselves, which is a really kind of critical component of aging when they misfold. Something a lot of research is being done on at the moment, but actually, working our muscles helps the protein in cells refold, even if that's in our brain or our eyes or whatever, nothing to do with our biceps, but it's doing that work. It's really, really important at a cellular level.
Yeah. And again, I'm just really pleased that you've brought that up, because there's widespread, I think, still misconception that muscles are just there to affect how you look, but they are a metabolic organ. Actually, they they influence so much of our physiology. You know, they can reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease if we have a good amount of lean muscle tissue, reduce the risk of diabetes because our muscle actually acts as a store for blood sugar, so helps to regulate our blood sugar levels. They support our immune system because actually muscles also produce something called myokines, which are chemicals that support the immune system. And as well as the sort of physical aspect, they help you to stay functionally fit so that you can still squat down and pick something up or reach up to get something from a shelf or pick your grandchildren up or carry your shopping around easily and to maintain that independence through having that, you know, that functional capability. So I'm glad you've mentioned that. And as you say, some women, I think when in their sort of 40s and 50s can worry about how to do strength training. And I think one of the great things about the world we live in now with social media and the online community is it's very easy to find beginners workouts online on YouTube or on Instagram or anywhere. So if you did just get a few light weights for at home, it'd be very easy to find a program that you could then go along with at home if you didn't want to go to a gym. So there's always something that you can access.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And I think, yeah, doing it at home is a good thing as long as obviously you're doing it safely. But it's wherever the starting point is for you.
Yeah, it's
doing it. The most important thing is just doing it, just making a start and then doing a bit more and doing a bit more.
Yeah,
because as you say, it's so important in terms of functional fitness. And when I ask clients, you know, what is the most important thing for you? Ultimately, when you look at your kind of aging self, remaining independent is really key. That's always the first thing that comes up.
Yeah. And the other thing I forgot to say, which is also part of that, is that they protect against osteoporosis. You know, when you do any sort of resistance training and maintain your lean muscle tissue, that also stimulates your bones to keep producing new cells and to keep their strength, and that helps then protect against fractures and the risk of falls. So it all feeds into that longer term picture of health, definitely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So, exercise-wise, obviously also just trying to stay active through the day is beneficial rather than sitting for long periods too. And so walking and other low impact activities are great for that, aren't they?
Yes, it's just any form of movement. You know, being sedentary is, you know, kills us. You know, it is a killer. It's a huge killer. It's been identified by WHO as a killer. And you know, it's so easy. And you know, we've all been locked up for such a long time. It's so easy just to spend hours and hours at your desk or on a sofa or whatever. You know, it's something we really need to kind of fight against. Even if that's just you work for an hour, get up for 5 minutes, walk around, have a stretch, fidget, you know, move around in some way, it doesn't really matter what it is at all. But you know, that just makes a real difference. And as I understand it, our white blood cells are in our immune system are quite sedentary and they need to be sort of shaken up. Quite regularly too.
Yeah, absolutely. Susan, we've got so much to get through still. I wonder if we could go next to, because I'd really like to talk to you more about how our own attitude to aging, our own sort of psychological approach to our own environment and our social connections contribute. Because again, I think it's often something that's quite overlooked, but actually very important for healthy aging. So what have you found and what do you encourage people to do when it comes to that sort of area?
It's really important to have a positive attitude to aging. Research shows that people with a positive attitude to aging age better than people who have a negative view of aging. It's as simple as that. It's finding the positive in the aging process, whatever that is for you. And sometimes it helps to stop and think and write that down and think about, what have I gained with age? Wisdom and more friends and perhaps a bit more leisure, that kind of thing. What is it that is actually good about your life now? And thinking about that and feeling grateful for that is a really simple practice, but a really powerful one that does actually benefit our whole bodies. It benefits our immune system. Grateful people have better immune systems, I believe. That very simple thing of keeping positive, and it's not always easy, but it's worth the work, definitely. And your social connections are absolutely vital. And we've had a year and a half where that has been difficult to maintain. So I always encourage people to maintain them in any way that you can. Be that via a Zoom call or a text message or whatever it is. And of course, hopefully now we'll all be able to spend more time with people we like, which is really, really important. But also, social connections doesn't have to be kind of hanging out with your best friend every day. It's kind of talking to the person in the coffee shop, or making a connection with the bus driver, or whatever, rather than just sort of ignoring other humans, kind of making them part of our world by kind of say, hi, how are you today, to anybody. It actually benefits our health.
Yeah, well, there's that thing about that this sense of community. So even if it is just that you feel that you're part of your village, for example, or you do some other hobby and you're part of that, it doesn't, as you say, have to always be about one-to-one. It's sometimes just a sense of belonging, isn't it, to something more than just yourself.
Yes, exactly. And I think finding things that we can do as we get older which integrate us into our community. And so people who live in places with low social cohesion have more inflammation. It's a physical thing. So if you can integrate yourself in any way, be it volunteering or a club or a hobby, then that is really worth doing. And I think the holy grail is finding something which you really love that gets you to engage with other people and includes exercise as well. So be that and gets you outside, which is really important for aging. So if that's kind of a walking group or getting an allotment or whatever it might be, then whatever's sort of accessible to you, outside exercise class, that's sort of the holy grail, because that ticks lots of boxes.
Yeah, and there's also another aspect to that, which is that you are also stimulating your brain in different ways, and that's so important for brain health, which, as we know, also feeds into that longer term risk of dementia and Alzheimer's disease, amongst other things. So just keeping your brain active by doing things, new things, meeting new people, trying new things, that's also a really good way of staving off some of that aging process, isn't it?
Yes, the hardest and most stimulating thing for your brain is talking to a stranger, because so much is going on at that point. You're thinking so much, you're evaluating so much. But anything we do that is new builds new neurons. You used to think once you reached adulthood, that was it, your brain was fixed. It's not. It will continue to grow until the day that you die, given the right conditions. And that is stimulating it in a positive way with new things, new experiences, and making it work hard. we're growing the most neurons at the time when things feel a bit difficult, when we're learning something or trying something. That process of trying is what's really helping our brain, which is kind of brilliant, actually. I love this because it means if you try something new, like dancing or a language, and you're rubbish at it, then it doesn't matter because actually you're benefiting your brain so much by the trying that you're kind of winning at life, even if you're terrible at it. So I just think that's great.
I know. When I first read or heard about that, I thought that is fantastic. You don't have to excel. It's just challenging yourself. Yeah. And our brains are no different to our muscles, actually, in the same way that if you don't use it, you lose it. To coin the phrase. And so we need to keep active to age well, because as well as being functionally capable as we get older, we want to be mentally capable too, and still be able to to think the way we want to and recall information. And the more we challenge our brain, the more, as you say, the more new neurons are being created and connected, and we just have that better brain health. So that's a really, really important aspect of it too. Susan, we have come to the end of our time. I feel like we could have gone on for another hour. We haven't we haven't covered sleep or stress, which are both hugely important, although I do bang on about them a lot in all of my interactions with people. Perhaps we could do another one at some point and focus on those, because actually they could quite easily take up a whole show on their own, couldn't they?
Yes. Absolutely. Sleep is so extraordinary in terms of what's happening in our brain and aging and immunity and everything. So yes, and has been a revelation for me. So would love to talk again. There's so much to talk about.
Fantastic. In the meantime, for people who are listening who might want to find out more about you and the Age Well Project, or even connect with you to do some work with you, where is the best place for them to find out more?
So we have agewellproject.com is our website. My personal website is susansaundershealth.com, and you can find us on Instagram at Age Well Project, and I'm at Susan Saunders Health. Those are the best places. Also Facebook as well. But I do love Instagram, find us via the website.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me today, Susan. I've really enjoyed that chat.
Thank you. No, it's great. I've loved it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening today. And I really hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Do follow me on Instagram at thehealthspandoctor for information on the show, as well as recipes and health and nutrition advice. Until next week, let's live life better.